I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, hour number two on this Tuesday around the country. Your boys are with you here across the country, as I said. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you from our studios here. The Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can, and this is the great carousel known as the NFL season. Friday was all about previews, and Monday was all about hot take reaction. Today, maybe a little sensibility begins to creep into those conversations that were maybe a little off kilter, and just tomorrow, boom, we hit the reset button, and we start to jack it up for the next week. That's a big game because, you know, as early as it is here, and as bad as the Browns looked in week one, and they were awful. They scored 6 points, and they're playing a young team, and Joe Burrow and the Bengals battle for Ohio. So, you know, now we're into it. And, Teague, this was one of the great stories from week one. Listen, we know that this dude's a player. He's a flat-out baller. You love him. You raved about him the night that he was drafted by the Raiders. We loved him in college. We had him on the show. We had him in studio back in the day, and he was fantastic in week one in a win against the Panthers. That is Josh Jacobs, the outstanding young running back for the Las Vegas Raiders. Josh, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing, buddy? What's happening?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Doing great, good, pal. Man. Nice job the other day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. And after your rookie season, which was spectacular, we kind of knew this. I remember watching you in college. I forget what game I was down there doing the Alabama game, and Tua threw this pass. Like, dude, this guy's as good a receiver as he is a running back. And it translated right into the National Football League. We didn't get a chance to talk to you last season, but how was that rookie season for you, and how did it prepare you? Because you feel like you're a vet now, I'm sure, going into year two of your NFL career.
Yeah, I mean, my rookie season is definitely not what I expected. I learned that it's a lot of things that I had to do on my own in the league, and I had to take it upon myself to be accountable of doing, like, taking care of my body and eating the right way and things like that. But on the field, man, it kind of all translated for me. And then towards the end of the year, things start to slow down. So coming into year two, I just feel good, and I'm ready to improve my numbers last year.
You know, it's interesting because of your head coach where you are in Las Vegas with the Raiders, because Gruden is one of those very unique individuals in all of sport. He motivates in so many odd ways, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. How do you get along with Gruden? Because I know he loves guys like exactly like you. Do it all.
Yeah.
You're smart, but you're tough. You take no, you know, nonsense. You know, tell us about your relationship with Gruden, because he obviously wants to feed you the football.
We have a great relationship. He texts me all the time. He sends me videos. He sends me other running backs, and he just, like, try to motivate me and give me inspiration. And I told him at the beginning of this camp, I was like, man, I need you to push me. I mean, I know I push myself a lot, but I'm like, if you see something, be on me about it. And, I mean, that's just the kind of relationship we have. We talk to each other about a lot of things on and off the field. And, I mean, I love playing for him.
That's great. So we're talking to Josh Jacobs, and Josh and the Raiders got a win against Carolina Panthers in week one. Big yardage, running the ball, 3 touchdowns as well. Turned the corner on that last one where you're really near the pylon, just ran away from everybody. You know, it's funny here because in the NFL, and I understand why we do. I'm guilty of it. We talk about the quarterbacks, the running, the fantasy elements, right? The receivers, the tight ends who make plays, the Kittles, your guy, Darren Waller. We tend to gloss over the offensive line unless it's a real problem. But your offensive line, and I know you're going to be quick to do this, deserves some national praise. They keep Derek Carr pretty clean, but they open up some holes for you. Your offensive line's terrific. Can you talk about those guys a little bit?
Man, I mean, we were down to what our third string right tackle in this game, and you didn't see a drop off. So I guess that just shows, like, speaks to the testament of how much work they put in this offseason and how mentally prepared they are. And I mean, I have the ultimate faith and confidence in them, whether it's in the pass game or in the running.
Josh, let me ask you this. I mean, the objective is always balance. Like Teek and I were talking about the Titans from last night, where Henry ran it 31 times and Tannehill had 42 or 43 attempts. Pretty good balance there. I think, first of all, Teek, did you pick the Raiders as a wild card team? I think we both did. We both have some expectations for your team. The one thing I think we both want to see is ultimately, like, what's the DNA? What's the character? What's the calling card? You guys going to make your money more on the ground or more on the air? Or is it going to be a strict, you know, as close to 50-50 balance as you could possibly have?
The thing that's crazy about this year more than last year is I think it's the most balanced we've been in a while. We have receivers that can drop the top, go deep. We have guys like Brian Edwards and Hunter Renfrow that can pick you apart in situational football plays. And then, obviously, like you said, our offensive line is great. So, I mean, we can really play however we want to play.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Teek, you buying that, Teek?
I am, because you watch them, and if Derek Carr is takes advantage of that balance, and offensively you have all the things that you need, especially with your former teammate, you know, catching balls down the field. You know, I don't know if we haven't, you know, really addressed this with anyone other than I think an analyst when we did our Teek and Tierney preview of the NFL season, and we talked about your team. But the transition to Las Vegas has been what with you? Was it easy? Are you still figuring things out? How about that move from Oakland, which is a very different spot from Las Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a smooth transition for me. My house is like 8 minutes away from the facility instead of like 35 in Oakland. So for me, it's been real smooth. It's a lot quieter than I expected it to be, but that's what a lot of the locals here had told me. So, I mean, I've been in love with it. I've just been dialed in into football.
That's going to change, by the way, man. Eventually, those casinos are going to be packed again, and who knows? You guys might get a baseball team out there. It's crazy. I mean, geez, you're probably in grammar school. I lived out there. Actually, you're barely born. I lived out there in the early 2000s, and I lived about 7 miles from the Strip. It's amazing what the city's become. You know, you fly into McCarran Airport, and it's not just the casinos, it's stadiums, and the local fans. Some of my buddies still out there. I can't wait till you guys can have fans at the game, because this community is ready to. They are going to latch on to you guys hard, even though they're not there. Can you feel it? Can you feel the energy in the community yet?
Oh, you definitely can feel the energy. Anywhere I go, I kind of feel the energy. I have to be careful when I'm like out to eat, make sure I don't post nothing, because it'll be like 30 to 50 people outside waiting for me. So you could definitely feel the energy.
That's funny. Tell us about what the game felt like without fans. You know, I did a college game this past weekend. It was odd calling it. NFL games, I'm sure, have some crowd noise pumped in. What did it feel like on the field with no one in the stands?
On the field, it doesn't feel that much different because for me personally, when I'm on the field, I kind of don't notice anything else in the stand. I kind of just be locked in. The only thing that's different on the field is kind of weird is you can see the defense trying to hear your plays and hear your calls and things like that. So, I mean, that's definitely different. But when you go to the sideline, you could definitely feel like the energy is not fully there. So it's definitely different.
Yeah. How are you guys mitigating that? Like, what do you do? Is it your strength and conditioning coach? Like, who's your hype man on the sideline? Cause you need that. I mean, football is a physical sport. And if you lull mentally, it's hard to, all right, here we go. We got to get back onto the field. Who's your hype guy?
Man, my hype guy last game was Jason Witten.
Nice.
Jason was bringing all the energy. I heard him on the sideline. He like, let's go 2-8, things like that. He was just pumping me the whole game. He told me after the game, he's like, man, I'm gonna be there for you all season if you need me. So he's been my hype guy.
I love it. So we're talking to Josh Jacobs, the outstanding young running back for the Raiders. You know, we mentioned, Aguilar, mentioned Renfro, Williams is hurt. I mean, you guys have a lot of receivers, but give me a little bit more on Henry Ruggs. I know he got loose early, almost scored a touchdown on a big run, and I know he I don't know if it was an ankle, but he got hurt a little bit, then he came back. What was he looking like in practice? And when he really learns what the NFL is about, what is he bringing to this offense? I think he's going to be a stud. What do you see, Josh?
Oh, man, when the guy's not running his full speed, he's still the fastest player on the field. I mean, and it's crazy to see it. You'll see him turn it on, you see him bend a corner, and it's like you would catch yourself just watching. Like at practice, you would catch yourself just watching him like a fan. I mean, the dude really has great hands, and he's very physical. I don't think he get as much credit for that as he should. But he'll put his nose in blocks and everything, so I appreciate that about him.
Yeah, now when you have a wide receiver that can block for you, it is invaluable. I got to tell you, Josh, when I was old at the end of my career, the only reason I had long runs is because Plaxico Burress and Amani Toomer were 60 yards downfield making blocks for me. It's necessary. All right, you were the Snickers hungriest player of the week last week. You got the Snickers chain. Did they actually like send you a chain with like Snickers on it? it's kind of cool.
I'm literally looking at the Snickers chain right now, and it's crazy, man, because I actually have it in my hands, and I'm just taking it all in. I know I wanted to be one of the players that had a Snickers chain last year, so to come out in week one and just be able to be awarded with it, I mean, it's huge for me.
Yeah, did you tweet it out? I want to see what it looks like. Did you tweet it out?
You got to tweet it out for us.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to tweet it out after this, yeah.
Yeah, you can find it on his Instagram. Just hashtag Snickers chain, or you just go to Josh's Instagram and you'll see that. But, I mean, it brings up an important point, Josh. Running backs, sometimes they get bogged down early, especially without a traditional training camp. There was no preseason games. It's mostly intact with you, even though you talked about your tackle, that you know you got the third level of your tackle. But still, it's a lot of continuity. So getting off to a fast start is so important. The question becomes then, how sustainable is this? Do you feel good? Do you feel strong despite the weird offseason that we all had this year?
Man, it's crazy because coming into this game, I was thinking, man, we ain't played football in, 8 months.
Yeah.
So just to feel how I was going to feel after the game, I was kind of like, oh, I wonder how it's going to be. I mean, but today, man, I feel perfect. Yesterday, I was deadlifting like 45 and stuff like that. So my body was pretty good. So I don't know. I think this is the best shape I've been in a long time.
Teague, 45, is that a decent number for a young running back or what?
If he's like repping 45 in the middle of after a game, that's like amazing. What are you talking about? Is that a good number?
I'm just asking. I mean, 245 is good to me at this point. By the way, I just saw this Snickers chain. Oh, dude, it's straight out of Run DMC. It's tight. It is tight. This thing is sick, man. So we're talking to Josh Jacobs. Josh, let me run this by you. Listen, we all know what Kansas City has already done, and more specifically now what they can do. Their weapons are all over the map. We all know about Lamar Jackson, the Ravens. We saw the Steelers get healthy last night with Big Ben. I think they're a tier one team. When you look at the upper structure of the AFC, do you guys believe that you belong? Can you guys, like, are you a team that can really, truly, you know, do something, win this conference this year, get to a Super Bowl? Are you guys ready to do that?
I honestly feel like we are. I feel like a lot of guys, we have the right group of guys this year. We brought in a lot of new players, but we all have a similar mindset and a similar goal. And just to see how close we was with a lot of those teams last year, it might have got ugly at the end, but in the key parts of the game, we knew that we can stand with any team. So we just trying to right now put them little pieces together and try to change them little 6 or 7 big plays in the game that changed the momentum of the game.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, you're going to have a challenge next week against the Saints. I mean, heck, you had a challenge this week against the Carolina Panthers. Christian McCaffrey, another really good running back. He's different than you, even though very similar. But you play the Saints next week, and this game is going to have to be about not making mistakes. It is your opener in your new stadium, even though, again, there's not going to be any fans in there. You know, how important is it to keep the momentum from that tough win against Carolina on the road to bring it back home for you guys to start the season?
It's definitely huge to keep the momentum because the Saints are a great team. I mean, our next five games are real tough opponents. So just trying to keep that momentum and keep that energy and find our place and make our identity known to the not only to the team but to everyone.
You know what I want to ask you, and we'll talk to Josh Jacobs here. I'm always curious how much, maybe more the younger players, pay attention to Madden rating. I know everybody. Yeah. I know all the players pay attention to that because they're chirping about if they got hosed with the number on, you know, immediately on social media. But do you pay attention to like where you're drafted in fantasy leagues at all? You mess around. I know you don't play, but do you just kind of mess around and see where you were drafted?
I don't really necessarily look at it, but I always see it because all the fans hit me up.
Yeah, they so tag like, you, right?
Yeah.
Well, listen, one of your fans is me, this guy right here. You're on my squad, buddy. I took Michael Thomas in the first round. I took you in the second round. I'm looking at my draft. I literally took 7 seconds to draft you because I'm like, if he doesn't go, I knew who I was taking. Boom, I popped you right in. And this trophy over my shoulder is a little dusty. It's from 2 years ago. Last year I got my head handed to me. So I need you to tell the whole crew, the whole league, that Brooklyn's Finest is about to lay it down. Can you do that? But Brooklyn's Finest is about to lay it down. Go ahead, Josh. Talk to me,
Brooklyn's
Josh.
Brooklyn's Finest is about to lay it down. Definitely this year. I'm just trying to come out and improve every game. I mean, this is the hungriest I've been in a long time. So
yeah,
definitely be looking for a lot of more fantasy points.
Hey, Josh, even though you got the Snickers chain, do they send you like a whole box of Snickers too?
Yeah, they send me Snickers. They all Mars products.
So. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, nice, nice.
Not too many, man. You don't need the LBs. Don't put on the extra LBs.
Oh,
yeah.
No. We have a great relationship with those guys. We've been doing stuff with Snickers for years. So congrats on the award. Wouldn't be surprised if you win it again. Most importantly, stay healthy. Keep balling, brother. You're off to a great start. Good having you on the show, Josh.
Man, thank you for having me.
Good chatting with you, Josh.
You got it. You got it. Kid's awesome, dude.
Yeah. No, he went early in our draft. I think he was third in our draft.
He slipped. I was a little surprised. I'm looking at it now. It was McCaffrey, Saquon, Zeke, Lamar, okay, Dalvin Cook. I took Thomas because all the, you know, those running backs were gone. Yep. Then Kamara. Well, I actually passed on Kamara. Davante Adams, Derrick Henry, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was actually the last pick of the first round. And then round two was Mahomes, Eckler, Julio, Mixon, and boom.
Gotta get running backs.
Oh, absolutely.
Gotta get running backs.
Especially a good one like Josh, who rewards you with basically 30 fantasy points.
That's right.
All right, Teague. So always enjoy having just a class young man, hell of a player. Coming up next, baseball's got an interesting plan. Well, they've had a plan for a while. Now it's been executed. It's been implemented. The bubble, the October bubble. We'll talk about that. Talk about some of the happenings this season. 4-time World Series champ, couple of All-Star games as well. Smooth lefty hitter, Tino Martinez. Tino joins us next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, so obviously you do a little fantasy, and it was nice seeing the teams back out on the field this week coming up. No better place to get on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Now, to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes. Getting ready to rev you up, and it's all up for grabs. Now, if you haven't tried DraftKings yet, just head to the App Store now, download it, simple, pop it onto your phone because you don't want to miss this, all right? Draft your lineup now and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means a little more with DraftKings. It's simple. Pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the rest of the competition. That simple. Instead of talking like aimless rhetoric smack, get in there, put a few bucks behind it, see what you got. Use that energy to your advantage. Draft a team, stay beneath the cap, and see how you do. Download the app and use code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Do it for a limited time. New users get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. That's Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Don't miss out on the Week 2 action, which begins on Thursday. Enter the code, get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? Well, it's on top of what Geico could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn a little bit more. All right, good chat with one of the rising stars in the NFL, Josh Jacobs of the Las Vegas Raiders. Big week one, getting ready for a big week two. And they should be in the mix. Teague and I both have them going to the wild card or gaining a wild card. We'll see. We'll get to the NBA coming up next segment. Game 7, Nuggets and the Clippers. A lot of pressure on the Clips. We'll see what the Nuggets have, if they could do this again. Celtics Heat Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals as well. Let's do a little baseball. This guy, it's funny. This guy, I thought I was going to hate this guy, actually, because he was coming in to take over my all-time favorite athlete, who, as Tiki knows, is Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly. And I got him in a trade from Seattle. Tino Martinez comes in, and he just grinds away, keeps his mouth shut, eventually starts hitting bombs. He fits right in, wins a ton of World Series. He's got 4 of them. Class act, terrific lefty hitter, and a really good fielding first baseman as well. Tino's on the show. What up, Tino? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. You weren't the only one that hated me early on, though. I get it.
I remember. I don't know what part of April it was, nor do I know exactly what your batting average was, but I do remember, this is seared in my mind, Tino. You grounded out the second. You tried to roll out, you know, you rolled over an outside fastball, whatever. You know, I try to do too much. I get it. And you hit like a 5-hopper to second, you know, and, you know, not that you were that fast, but you always ran hard. And you're busting it down the box, and all of a sudden, you know, you bat like 109, and with 13 games in. And those 50,000 at the old stadium are letting you know that this is not acceptable. That must have been, I mean, forget about taking over for Mattingly. That's daunting enough. But just trying to be a great Yankee, that must have been really tough to start.
It definitely was tough, you know, from spring training on, the whole headlines when I got traded in the offseason to the Yankees was, how am I going to handle coming in after Don Mattingly? And the media would call me on the phone, and in spring training for 30 days of spring training, every single game after the games were over, you know, if I had a good game or bad game, they kept saying, how do you think the fans are going to treat you if you get off to a slow start? And I'm going, oh, man, I don't know. I'm going to just work hard not to get off to a slow start. And sure enough, I got to a slow start. It was very tough. You know, I loved hitting Yankee Stadium. I knew I wanted to be a Yankee. I was still excited to be there, but I was just trying too hard. I was just, you know, if you threw me a fastball right down the middle, I was popping it up. I just was squeezing the bat, just trying to make a good impression on the fans and my new teammates. But it was rough early on, and I just, you know, kept working hard. I knew eventually I was going to hit, and hopefully the team would be playing well, and the fans would start accepting us, myself, and Joe Torre as well.
Yeah, you won us over, Tino. I think it's safe to say, buddy.
Yeah, and it's the Yankees.
Yeah, it's the greatest place to play. It really is, And Tiki knows it as well. I mean, there's great ballparks, there's great stadiums, football stadiums to play in, but the New York fans are so passionate.
That's right.
And if you just go work hard and play hard every day, and they're going to love you, and, you know, especially if the team wins. Unfortunately, I had a great group of guys, and we were able to win some championships and have some great years.
Yeah, no, that's no doubt. And it's the Yankees, so it's okay to be nervous. It's different than the Mets. What do you think about the sale? Obviously, you're familiar with New York. I don't know, feelings about the Mets and the Wilpons, and now Steve Cohen is in the process of buying the team from the Wilpons and the Katzes. Obviously needs approval from 23 of the 29 owners. But what do you think about the changing hands of the Mets, the other team that's in New York?
The thing is, you know, being a Yankee or a New York athlete, we root for all the other teams in general because we know how tough it is to play there. And when it goes bad, it goes bad. But I didn't really know the Wilpons very well, and I'm sure they, you know, they tried their best to make, you know, the best out of the team. But I think obviously it was time for a change after all the down years, and the fans expect a lot more out of the Mets. And I think it's great. I think that the new guy coming in has a totally fresh slate to start with. They have a pretty good young core of players there that can really help that team get off to a good start if they can, add some certain. Players here and there, they could be a very good team pretty quickly, especially with the budget they have to spend on players.
So, I agree.
When the Mets win or the Yankees win or the Giants and Jets, whoever's winning, the fans are going to show up in droves, and they're dying for a winner there at Citi Field. So I think it's great for the fans and a fresh start.
So we're talking to Tino Martinez, and over 1,200 ribbies. 1,000 ribbies is an obvious benchmark, but very few players get to 1,200 is really legit. Nearly 350 home runs, terrific fielder, 4-time World Series champion with us on the show. So I'm sure you watch baseball every night. You know, what have you seen that maybe we don't see with your trained professional eye Whether it's, you know, pitchers not being ready to go deep or hitters still scuffling. It's one of these, you know, it's the strangest year of anybody's life for sure. 2020 has been miserable. The pandemic baseball has brought a lot of challenges. Seven inning doubleheaders, guy on second base, extra innings, blah, blah, blah. Has the game kind of found itself, or do you still sense that guys are still trying to catch up a little bit from a weird offseason?
You know what? I thought for sure if I was in that situation where you have all that time off and, you know, a month or two off, and to come back and basically have a few days of spring training and start playing, your timing is way off. But I was more shocked that so many guys were prepared and ready to play. I mean, their timing was right on. Like, you know, DJ LeMahieu, all the great players just came out smoking the ball like if they had never missed a day. surprised me the most. And obviously the pitchers obviously had to be on a pitch count for the most part to begin the season. But most of those guys, especially the great starters, are, you know, Garrett Cole the other day went, you know, nine innings. They're ready to go, and they were prepared. I think it's been a great season so far throughout the leagues as far as, I mean, there's so many young stars that have shined during this entire time now where you just start seeing players that you may not have seen play before because of the, you know, the short season and the highlights or whatever it is now. But I'm surprised at how great a lot of teams are actually playing and the competitiveness. I mean, these guys are fired up. They're bench-clearing brawls. They're talking. They want to win. There's a lot of you know, pride on the line, even though it's a short season. So I was very happy to see all that.
Yeah, no, and we were talking a little bit earlier about the Padres, who were right on the heels of the Dodgers out in the West. And, you know, Tatis is a young kid who just he feels no fear. And you know, part of this is probably different training. But, you know, what do you think of this shortened season as it's been played out so far? Obviously, there have been a few cancellations. We don't know how, you know, it's going to affect potential postseason seeding, but there is it's an expanded playoff, so it almost kind of washes out. Execution on what MLB has done in the face of very difficult circumstances, and let's not forget the fight between the owners and the players, but still,
yeah.
What's your grade on MLB this year? Because it's been very unconventional.
It has. I mean, I would give it at least a B+, A-, because what the thing is, like I said, so many teams are playing so well, and unfortunately, the fans can't be there to watch it. That's what takes away from it. But I think from the beginning, they had a little bit of the coronavirus pandemic hit some teams, and that was a setback. But as we move forward here, I think more teams have gotten disciplined and you know, staying by the rules. And it's been so good so far as that goes, where there hasn't been so many cases as of late, which is going to be a very good sign moving into the postseason, especially into those bubbles. So they've done a great job of getting it together. The teams have done a great job of keeping their players in line, so to speak. But I think overall, I'm surprised how well it's gone, and I hope it finishes that way and they get a good postseason, because it should be exciting.
Everybody deserves credit. Everybody has been diligent, there's no doubt. But, you know, Tino, it's amazing. For a guy who had a lot of postseason moments, a lot, and, you know, one that jumps right off the bat was that granny that you hit off the top tank against Langston, against the Padres in 98. When there, you could actually see beer flying from there. It was mayhem. I was at a college reunion. I just graduated college. I was at a reunion. We were going bonkers. And for somebody who authored so many October moments, it's one thing to do this now out of necessity because we have to. I get it. But man, imagine Kirk Gibson doing that. You know, taking Eck deep with nobody in the building, or some of your moments, or Jeter on November 1st with nobody there. The World Series with no fans, it's going to be horrible.
That's a sad part of it all. I mean, that's sad that nobody would be there to witness those type of moments. But so many people are watching at home. And what I would love to see is the players' passion out there. I mean, when they do hit those home runs, they're fired up. They're yelling and screaming. They're high-fiving in the dugout. They're playing for something. And you could feel it across the TV screen. And you get excited for those guys that experience those moments, and they're going to experience more moments in October. Because there's so many teams that will make the playoffs, and you never know who's going to be in the World Series. But so many players out there now, especially the young guys, have a chance to shine and get that spotlight, make a name for themselves, and make that big moment for themselves. Whether there's anybody there or not, the fans will be watching, and it'll be exciting. It'll be this type of year we're having.
Hey, Tino, tell us about the Green Easton. This is the new Easton B5 bat. This is obviously for youth sports, so it's aluminum. I know that you're involved in all levels of baseball, going down to the smallest levels. Tell us a little bit about this bat and what these young kids can expect from it.
Yeah, you know, when I was younger, when I was playing in high school and college, that was the bat. The Green Easton was like the only aluminum bat back then that we had.
Wait, Tino, wait, you didn't use a Black Magic? Come on, man. That was pretty good, too.
Hey, it came along a few years later when I was college in amateur ball at USA Baseball. But before that, in high school and college, it was the Green Easton only. And I had one that was just the most well-balanced bat that I ever had. And I hit so well with it. And I remember Derek Jeter saying when he got to the big leagues that the aluminum bat he had in high school was his favorite bat. And he tried to find a wooden bat when he got to the big leagues. It kind of had that same type of feel and balance to the aluminum bat, and it's true, it had a great balance to it, and it was one of the best bats I've ever had. I'm glad they're bringing it back, because there's so many different bat companies out there now, obviously, and it's great. I'm happy for all the people, but this bat was the original, and it's a fantastic bat.
I'm looking at it right now. Dude, it looks exactly the same. Teague knows. I mean, my little guy's playing. He's five. I played. I mean, this bat, I'm going to have to get this. What would you recommend for a younger kid, the difference between the inches and the ounces? What kind of variation? Well, what was your variation, I'm curious? And what do you think for a young guy or a young girl learning to play, what should the variation be for them?
Well, the young, I'm not sure the age you're talking about,
seven, 8, yeah, around that area.
Yeah, that's a smaller bat. That's probably a 27, 28-inch bat, maybe 28 ounces, 30 ounces at the most.
Mm-hmm.
Each kid, when they pick that bat up, they'll feel a difference in the weight, and they'll know what they like. I played my whole career basically with a 32-inch, 31-ounce bat pretty much most of my career. But that's the kind of bats that Easton has for aluminum high school and college kids. But for the young kids, though, it's just you got to make sure it's not too heavy for them. Make sure they can swing it pretty hard when they get a pitch to hit.
I got 32 inches. That's pretty short for a big, strong guy, huh?
No, 34. 34 inches, 32 ounces.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, listen, Tino, we'll tweet. I'm going to tweet this out for you. The new Easton B5 Pro Bat. The Green Easton looks absolutely sick. It looks like it's got bullets. And you pick it up, you're going to start raking. You hold this thing, you're going to start hitting. Great to have you on the show. Loved watching you play. So much respect for you, man. Always loved how you grinded, buddy.
Love you guys' show as well. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate
you got
you, Tino.
It. There he is. Tino. Yep. Four-time champ. Class act. He was playing when you were playing, Teague.
Yeah. No, he's great. I've had a couple of events with him with my company, Thuzio, as well. He's on the money, man.
Yep, gentleman, too. Real gentleman, Tino, no doubt. All right, Teague, let's get into some hoops coming up next here, Game 7. You know, a lot of people heard this a little bit this morning. It's a legacy game. His reputation will forever be destroyed if he doesn't win. Talking about Kawhi. I don't agree with that, and we'll tell you why coming up next. The hoops. Axe update, though, is right now. Here's Rich. Hey, this Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. Week 2, the early games highlighted by an NFC matchup between Tiki's Giants and the Bears with Mitch Trubisky with a great fourth quarter. A little shaky the first three, but he did deliver 3 touchdowns. Along with the Broncos squaring off with the Steelers. We saw Denver last night. Hopefully that Cortland Sutton's back healthy. Lindsey got nicked up in that game as well. Then in Game 2, Patrick Mahomes and the defending Super Bowl champions take on the Chargers, and the Ravens taking on the Texans. So it all starts with JB and the guys. The NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Sunday on CBS. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to Carson Wentz, top of the hour. Some struggles. What do we attribute it to? How correctable are they? And how concerned should the Eagles and the fans be?
Very.
I was going to say, there's all sorts of swings and emotions to, well, it's still early, to he's not the guy. The answer's probably somewhere in between, but Teague and I are going to flush that out coming up next here. Right now, we flush out a little hoops. Now, to me, I don't know if I agree with the notion that, even though I kind of said it the other day, but I guess upon review, there's no pressure on the Nuggets tonight. The only reason I say that, Jokic is a player, Jamal Murray to a lesser extent, but Nikola Jokic is a player who, if he stays healthy and he keeps this up, he has a chance to go down as one of the top 10 centers of all time. Much more on the back end, nowhere near the front. Once you get past the Kareems and the Wilts and the Russells and the Shaqs and the Hakeem Olajuwons, who I should have said earlier, but you get into that, Ewing, Robinson territory. I'm sure I'm missing a guy or two. If he has, 10, 11, 12 years of this stuff and his game's not built on explosion, which tells me that I believe he can sustain this for a long time, he's going to have to win a championship. All right. And
what it all comes down to.
It does, Teague. And when people say, well, it's house money, Nugget, they ain't got no pressure.
No,
who
there's a
knows?
Lot of pressure. No, there's
there
a
is.
Lot of pressure.
Who knows, if they're back in this position in the next couple of years,
Look,
Denver.
BT, they've been good the last couple of years. You know, it's not like they were a surprise three seed. I mean, they were second last year in the Western Conference. You know what I mean? So it's not like all of a sudden they had this fantastic year and this is house money that they're playing with because they're a game away from getting to the Western Conference Finals. This is a team that has drafted pretty well and has constructed a team that plays with a grit that's and it's a maybe it's the youth because they don't know any better, you know what I mean, but they play with this this energy that a lot of teams down what they were down were they down 26 at one point I know at 19 at another
it was at least 22
yeah maybe it's 22 but I can't remember the number, but they were down. I mean, it was over. Forget it, check out, it's over, have a nice vacation, you know, you're out of the bubble finally, to, you know, basically outscoring the LA Clippers, who are a good squad. it's not even a question that they're a good, really good squad, if not on the border of great, depending on what happens the rest of this season, to outscore them, what was it, 64 or 65 to 34 in the fourth, in the second half of game six? I mean, that's hard to do. Now, a lot of people will point to the inconsistencies in the Clippers, and they'll say, oh, the Clippers, they got lazy, they got complacent, you know, they stopped moving the ball around. They're a team full of not great passers anyways, the Clippers, so if you bog them down and you start playing really good principled defense, then you force them to make shots. And once they stopped making shots, it was over. I mean, they scored 16 points in the third quarter. I think 16 in the fourth, too, you know, in game six. So you got to give the Denver Nuggets credit for playing with, you know, a never giving up nature.
Yeah.
But you also have to fault the Clippers for whatever, you know, blanket gets thrown on them in the second half of some of these games.
Yeah, they're used to this, though, at least the Nuggets are. Now, it's also a dangerous, you know, high wire act to follow, because not only were they down 3-1 in this series, they were down 3-1 in the previous series.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've got this ability, this resilience to, and Jamal Murray was great in that first round, the 50 spot, multiple 50-point games, he was great. And he's been not nearly as great this series, but he hasn't necessarily had to be the last couple of games. They've had nice balance. They had one of the wins, I think it was the would have been game five, mm-hmm, where they had eight different players score.
Yep.
You know, Porter's had some real moments, even when he didn't have great stats, some fourth quarter step ups, whether it's a big rebound, whether it's the big three, whether it's a big defensive play at a big block last game. This team, to me, is really interesting. They're going to be really good for a while because of Jokic, because of Porter, because they have a good organization. Those guys are staying put. Listen, I don't know if Kawhi is going to be a Clipper for a long time. I don't know if Paul George is going to be a Clipper for a long time. You talk about pressure. That's where the pressure lies. Not on Kawhi. To me, Kawhi, I don't want to say I absolve him of any pressure, because ultimately this game, if they lose, you know, it will be referenced, you know, let's say in 10 years, Kawhi's thought to be, you know, the 22nd best player of all time. Well, you know what? If he would have won that, maybe it'd be top 20 or top 15. There's always another benchmark you can hop into or hop over with a series win in a big spot, especially a game seven when everybody's watching. But even if he comes out and shoots 7-for-20 tonight, which he won't, gets roasted on defense, which he won't, dude, what he did with the Spurs, but more importantly, what he did with the Raptors, I don't care what happens tonight. The guy that I'm watching is Paul George, because Paul George, every year that he plays, like if he, the further he gets removed from his best season with the Pacers,
yeah,
the less I believe that he's a superstar. He's not a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sporadic all-star,
yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you can't keep going back to the broken leg, because guys recover, you know, perfectly from those things these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what's bothering him. Maybe there's other things that have been bothering him. We know he had the shoulder issue, which to start the season, which put him on some limit restrictions. The other, you know, thing you got to think about, BT, is the head coach here and Doc Rivers.
Mm.
Doc made his pay in Boston, right? We know he was great. If he would have stayed in Boston, he might have went down as one of the great coaches of all time. Who knows if they would have retooled and, you
see,
know,
I don't think so because that team was aged out. You
true,
know,
but I know. But who KG knows if they would have retooled with him there, and then he takes another Boston team.
I see what you're saying.
To the, you know, to the championship and wins, and all of a sudden he's like iconic.
I got you.
But because they aged out, to your point, BT, he was like, all right, I'm out. Peace. I don't want to rebuild. I've been around too long. Let me go find someplace else. And you know, had CP3 and Blake Griffin out there. Now, we know that they were both flawed in certain ways, but he didn't win with them. If he doesn't win with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and, you know, the, what is it, four-time sixth man of the year? He might even be more than that. Four-time sixth man of the year and Lou Williams. And
well, Jamal Crawford's got about four or five,
yeah,
so
that's what I mean.
I think Lou's right around four, three or
yeah,
four.
Yeah, he's three or four, whatever right? It is. I think you're right. I think it's three. And in Montrezl Harrell playing the way that he's playing, if he can't win with this group, so they have a good bench. They have Patrick Beverley, who's, you know, a monster defender, even though sometimes he's a liability, especially when you get in the fourth quarter and he starts, you know, inexplicably putting people on the line from, you know, 30 feet away from the basket. That's one thing. But isn't there pressure on Doc Rivers?
Yes.
Right?
It's a great point.
It's not, I mean, not necessarily Kawhi. I agree with you. Dude, he's got two championships and defensive players of the years and MVPs and in the championship. Kawhi he's going to be fine. Paul George, he's probably outplaying his station right now. I think Doc Rivers is the one that has the biggest, you know, pressure on him going in this game.
Teague, it's an amazing point that most people gloss over. You know, Doc Rivers is not a great coach.
Yeah,
he's a good coach.
We thought he was great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we haven't really thought that in a while.
But that's it. That's it. We haven't. I think he's come back down to, like, he was on the trajectory to be, oh, you're one of the greats.
He was. He was going in that direction.
And then he came back to, okay, you're really good, to now, like, okay, you're good.
Yep. He also had, Rondo. Think about, Rondo's playing his behind off now. Imagine Rondo back in the day when he was at his uber-athletic self as a defender, as a facilitator. Kevin Garnett, one of the great team guys of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Pierce, one of the great one-on-one scorers of all time.
That's right.
I mean, you're talking about some serious weaponry right there for the Celtics in a very watered-down Eastern Conference at that point. You know, Doc Rivers came into the league. He was coaching at the age of 38. He's almost 60.
Yeah.
He's coached. Now, he projects youthfully, so he doesn't feel 60.
That's right. I wouldn't have guessed he's 60.
Yeah, I think he's 59.
All. Yeah, I would have guessed he's like early 50s.
Yeah. I mean, I just knew he came up in like 83 or 84, so I associate that he's a little bit older. But I got you.
As a player. Yeah.
But, you know, for a guy who's been coaching 20-something years, he's had a couple of 3-1 collapses, one with Orlando that most people forget about, one with the Celtics. He's had two now star-studded teams with the Clippers. You mentioned CP3 when he was young. You mentioned Blake when he was young. You got two, one superstar now, one guy who's thought to be a superstar, who we don't think is a superstar, but still is an all-star.
Yep.
He's got one NBA championship, which is one more than a lot of the people on this planet. Sure. But I don't know, the praise to me is not necessarily commensurate with the accomplishments for Doc in terms of tangible victories.
You think they
it's a
win
big one?
You think they win game 7, the Clippers?
Teague, I have no idea what's going to happen.
I don't either.
I'll give you a prediction before we get out of here. I don't want to shortchange it. I honestly don't know. Well, I'll tell you, though. Carson Wentz talk coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.